Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Lisnick, Behind the Curtain, West Side Story, one of the greatest musicals of all time. It even gave a start to a guy named Stephen Sondheim, you may recall. So it's an amazing show, and we're going to get to talk to the two leads who will be playing in that production coming up here in Chicago at the Lyric Opera, that little tiny theater over on Wacker Place. And you're going to meet them now. Let's say hi to Ryan McCartan. He plays Tony. Ryan, I have to say, that was the role I should have played in the 1976 Niles North High School production of West Side Story. Instead, I understudied Riff, and Tony went to a guy named Greg Edelman, who went on to star in City of Angels and get some Tony nominations and stuff on Broadway. So I forgive him, but I want you to know that I should be in your role.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you. There's no better way to say that. And playing the role of Maria, Kanisha Marie Feliciano. So good to see you, Kanisha. Welcome to Chicago to you guys.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
So, all right, as I've said, and I'll say this more, we're talking about West Side Story that'll be at the Lyric. It's playing from June 2nd to June 25th. But before we get there, because I'm familiar a bit with your bios, I have to just touch base on a couple of things with you. So, Ryan, you, of course, have, you know, we know you from the CW series, The Winchesters, and you've been on Broadway. You were Hans in Frozen. I have to be honest, I would have been more impressed if you were Sven, but that's just a preference that I have.
Those Sven puppeteers do some of the best work I have truly ever seen a human do with their body. So you are very right to have that opinion.
And I got to tell you, see everybody leaving with Sven dolls. You don't see them leaving with dolls of anybody else. Well, maybe they do, but I was all about Sven. So anyway, congratulations on playing Hans. And of course you were Fiero in Wicked on Broadway. What time did you do Fiero?
Fiero I did for the 15-year anniversary production in 2018.
Oh, Fabi, you may have been in there with a good friend of mine, played Madame Morrible, Alexandra Billings. Was that, or was she?
I just missed Alexandra Billings. She was right after me.
Well, you missed somebody fabulous because
I know I did.
Absolutely amazing. And so anyway, I'm glad. And Yando Lopez is from this area. He's there now playing Bach. But anyway, so congratulations. Maria, I'm not forgetting you because you're, of course, making your debut here in Chicago with the Lyric anyway, with West Side Story. And you originated the role of Anne Judith in Flying Over Sunset at Lincoln Center. So you're used to playing these sort of classy venues.
Yes. Yeah. I've been very fortunate to be able to be in these incredible houses.
But there is one thing I have to ask you about, because your bio includes the fact that you were in the closing cast of Phantom of the Opera. So were you in the last night, last performance?
I was there. Yeah, I got to meet Andrew Lloyd Webber and Sarah Brightman and experience the energy in the room. Most of the audience were people that had worked on the show over its 35-year run. So incredibly supportive and just special. It was history.
And some of that stuff was, they talked about surprise. I mean, all I did was see clips, you know, that they keep running on Playbill sites and all that kind of thing. But there were surprises that night. So did you all know that Andrew Lloyd Webber and other, that they were going to be there?
We knew most of the people that were going to be there, but Andrew Lloyd Webber, We weren't quite sure. He had recently lost his son, unfortunately.
Yes.
But he came out and gave a beautiful speech, and we dedicated the final performance to him. And his presence and the love for him was very much in the room.
Yeah, I'm glad we got to see that. By the way, I know people who were in the audience, but nobody's been able to ask this question. I saw the show actually when it first opened in the 80s. Was the original Phantom, Michael, was he there?
He was not, no.
Okay, I finally have my answer. Anyway, so congratulations to all of you. Did you steal anything from the Phantom set on the way out? That I would have like left with the chandelier or something.
I plead the fifth. I did try to leave with my wedding dress. I think she was really cute. And the Don Juan pumpkin dress, we would call it, lovingly. But alas, No, I did not. They did let us take some scraps from the costume shop, and one of my dressers, Valerie, she made this beautiful little doll that has my masquerade costume in it.
How wonderful. Oh, that's great. I'm very damn. When I get backstage, I was back there. Hello, Dolly, Bette Miller stuff. They searched me on the way out the door. I was at the White House. I left with forks. I'm terrible because I have like this extensive collection of things. I have a boot from Kinky Boots that Jerry Mitchell still is looking for potentially. So yeah, come on over and take some stuff from that. Don't take anything from the White House. Anyway, let's talk about West Side Story here. You know, this show, it's, of course, been around since the late 50s and stuff. Ryan, why do you think this show just doesn't go away? It not only that it doesn't go away, a lot of things come back. This just has never gone away because it's as powerful as it ever was.
Yeah, I mean, I think you answered your own question there. It's as powerful as it ever was. I think it would be irresponsible to view West Side Story as an indictment of who we were. It's an analysis of who we are. And that has always been the case. So it was powerful then. It's been powerful everywhere in between, and it's powerful now because it's about two groups of people who refuse to understand each other until it's too late. And I don't think that I have to paint the picture of why that is so echoic of our current culture and the current time that we live in. Not, of course, to mention the fact that it is a thrilling love story, a horrible tragedy, the culmination of Jerome Robbins, Stephen Sondheim, and Leonard Bernstein all at once. I mean, there are so many reasons to do the piece, but the reason that we keep doing it, the reason that it never goes away, is because we haven't learned the lesson that it's trying to teach us yet.
Yeah, I did an interview of Chita Rivera. We honored her once, and I did the interview on stage, and she just talked about being in the room. Imagine being in the room with those three guys and just sort of, you know, I mean, and I know they were big. They weren't like they are today, right? They were earlier in their career, but nevertheless, Kenesha, can you, you know, when you have those moments of being with somebody that huge, perhaps you've been with Stephen Schwartz and folks like that. I just think it's stunning.
Yeah, I had the immense privilege of working with James Lapine on.
Oh, okay.
And he was there doing warm-ups with us every single morning, you know, like seeing James Lapine bear crawl across a dance studio floor is kind of surreal. But you really are taken aback by how these people's minds work, their integrity, how they bring all of themselves, their knowledge, their wisdom to a singular piece of art. And you watch those ideas bounce off of equally genius people in the cast, in lighting and costumes. And it's really just awe-inspiring to be able to bring something to fruition.
And Kenesha, I'll stick with you on this. So, of course, the movie was made a couple of years ago, and it keeps coming back in different forms. Some modifications in the film. I know, like, we put it downtown New York. They just did some things to it. And I saw the lyric production of a few years ago, pre-pandemic, which was fairly true to the original show. Do we get that here as well, Kenesha? Are any changes planned for this time around that you know of? Well, you know you're in it.
Yes, I do know that the cast is doing the original choreography and staying true to the show in that regard. But with this production specifically, we are updating the time.
The like music, the movie did.
Yes. Well, the movie was in the 50s, right?
Well, no, I don't mean I mean the movie of just a couple. Yeah, the original movie was in the 50s and played to that time, or it might have been early. No, I take it back. It was early 60s that they made the film. But I mean, this time, I think it was done as more of a modern day setting. But it doesn't matter. You tell me about the setting of.
Yes. Okay. With this production, we are setting it far more contemporary. You'll see skinny jeans on stage and not 1950s dresses. And, you know, it rings true because we're still dealing with these things today. We're still dealing with people judging each other because of the color of their skin. We're still dealing with young people having access to guns and being victims to gun violence. And I think removes a layer of, or I guess updating the time period brings the audience closer. It's easier to see yourself in these characters. It's easier to see the world around you played out on stage.
I agree. And I think, and not only are those issues relevant today that are actually in the production, but I mean, other issues, anti-LGBTQ stuff. I mean, all the stuff that goes on in our society today, it's present there. I mean, all you have to do is watch and you're getting the same sense and wonder what is wrong with people today that we can't sort of live and let live. Ryan, the everybody knows how this story ends. I mean, it's Romeo and Juliet. We all know what's going to happen. Fortunately, you're around for the next performance, but in the role of Tony. But why do you think? I mean, I sit there. I've seen the show. I don't know how many times. You still want it to end differently. Why do we hold on to that hope that maybe this night they'll do it differently?
Well, I mean, at the risk of,
or maybe it's just me, by the way.
No. I mean, we just had a conversation yesterday in rehearsal. I mean, we were obviously being tongue in cheek, but it's like, let's just, oh gosh, the first act was so fun. We're just flirting with each other and dancing. Let's just cut the second act. It's so much better. Just if it's that way. And we're playing to that and we're leaning into that. I think that we're finding not only how this material exists in a modern context to be something that we can really play with and entertain, but also the youth of these characters, Tony and Maria, the optimism that I think sometimes can be dismissed as foolish, but children have optimism because they're pre-programmed to believe that they can have something better than what came before them. And that governing sense of hope is shared by the people on and off stage, the audience and, you know, the actors alike. We want it to end differently because we want to believe that it can. It's, again, I you know, not to drill this point home too heavily, but it's just, it's so symbolic of where we are. I read the news with hope that it's going to be better. I know exactly what the news is going to say. I know how much it's going to make me sad. I know how much it's going to hurt me, but I open it every day hoping that I might see a different ending. And that's how we're going to feel when we watch this piece. And by the way, that's how we're going to feel every time we watch this piece, no matter who is producing it, no matter what year we're in, because until we do something that is fundamentally and foundationally different than what we're doing now, West Side Story will be just as true as it was in the 1950s. And we have to sit with that.
Well put. Kanisha, the other thing I think that's a little different about West Side Story, every musical that's a hit, we can all, like Wicked, whatever, we can all walk out saying, I love that song. Oh, I love that number. Mm-hmm. West Side Story, I think, one of the few musical productions where, if you know anything about this, you don't just have to talk about sort of the musical number. You got to talk about the score. The score itself, I don't know how many versions of the score that I have just recorded by Oscar Peterson, jazz versions, on and on versions. Just a comment from, I'll start with you, Kanisha, but both of you welcome to address it. This notion of just, it's not about just the songs, the score, the orchestration.
Yeah, I mean, Bernstein really just leaves it out on the page. He lays it out right there for you. So as an actor on stage, it's easy to go where he wanted you to go, you know, and an audience member getting swept up in an over 40 piece orchestra and over 68, you know, musicians on stage. Like it is impossible not to ride that tidal wave of emotion, of sound. I mean, he's Bernstein for a reason. And then you have Sondheim that comes in with these beautiful, poignant lyrics that are spaced just in a way that you get that you get a plethora of information in such a condensed short moment. And I mean, there's a reason it's done again and again and again, because it is interesting to listen to. Every time I hear something on the piano, even, we haven't heard the orchestra yet, I hear a little line that I didn't know was there before, and I'm excited to see, you know, is that going to be in a cello? Is that going to be in an oboe? You know, there are no violas in this. In the show, fun fact, there are no violas in West Side Story.
I'm going to impress people on opening night when I'm there. I'm saying, you know, I'm not hearing any violas.
I'm not hearing violas. Yeah.
And then I'm going to raise my hand and ask a question from the audience during the show. And so if one of you would take that question. Yeah, Paul, you're right. There are no violas in this orchestra.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
You know, Ryan, I'm sure both of you grew up with the score. This is not new to either of you. And so I'm sort of curious when, you know, when I interviewed Nick Cartel, who's been doing Jean Valjean and Les Mis for a very long time. And I said to him at some point, he's done 700 plus performances. And I said, you know, the song Bring Him Home. Do you have some nights where you just want to change the words to Let's Leave Him Here, because I'm just tired of this? And his answer, by the way, was no, just in case you're wondering. He does admit that carrying, schlepping him around is, you know, Marius is a problem, but he didn't change the words, although I encouraged him to. But but what do you mean, you, Ryan, for songs that you've known your entire life, and you do the song tonight, the whole world knows the song. How do you make that magic happen every night? In fact, you did that on our WGN morning news. That was the number you guys did there too.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's going to sound so obvious, but there's a huge difference between hearing something, even knowing something, and then doing something. And there's a huge difference even between doing, you know, I've sang Maria, I've sang Something's Coming in cabaret settings, even with like a, you know, maybe a 4-piece band. I got a bass, I got a little guitar doing something funky back there, but 43-piece orchestra on one of the, I believe, the big stage in Chicago, one of the most beautiful stages I've ever seen. I mean, there's a gargantuan difference to actually do it at this level of artistry with the unbelievable assembly of people who make this music happen. And to your point about the score, I mean, God, like, to call this underscoring is just almost, it's almost offensive. The score is another character on stage. Mm-hmm. Like, we will stop rehearsal if we are a beat too long or a beat too short or a beat too early, because you must make room for it. There's no margin for error, which isn't because they're strict, it's because it's perfect. And that's hard work, but it's rewarding work, it's enriching work. And the magic that comes from repeating that kind of work at this level is self-actualized, because it feels that good to get it right.
So have either of you, and this isn't the point of my question, it's a lead into something. Have either of you performed in West Side Story before as a production anywhere?
I have not. I never have.
So it's okay. So it's first for both of you. And and as I told you, I was, of course, Niles North High School, but still remembered. But here's the thing. If this production was going on at the, what I'll always call the Schubert Theater, it's sort of down the street. You know, it's now known as the CIBC Theater, whatever. But the point is, it's a traditional New York looking theater. When you're in that space, you just feel like you're in New York. Mm-hmm. And our Cadillac and our Niederlander theaters, those are the grand kind of theaters you have. But nothing is the Lyric. And right. And I'm sure, I know you know about the theater. Kanisha, I'm sure you've been told as well that this, you know, the building is acoustically perfect, right? Have they told you that? I mean, because that's a true statement.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is stunning. I come from an opera background, so I'm very familiar with Lyric opera and all of the incredible artists and incredible vocal instruments that have sung in that hall. And our first week, within the first couple of days, we got to walk through the company, because it's a maze. I mean, the building is huge, the theater is huge. So they gave a company tour, and we got to step out on that stage for the first time.
Let me just stop you there. Talk to me about what that was like for each of you when you stepped out on that stage and looked out into that space.
I mean, it was a dream come true.
Yeah.
It was a dream come true. It was definitely it's a moment that you realize this is a highlight of my career. Mm-hmm. This is a moment that I'm going to remember for a very, very, very long time. And it was a moment that I couldn't help but make sound. There were 30 other people there, and I called out into the hall just because I wanted to hear that perfect sound. I wanted to hear my voice echoed back, and I was satisfied, and I'm like, I will wait until tech. But it's
speak for yourself. Right? I am chomping at the bit. It was not long enough. They were like, okay, for our next stop on tour. I was like, no.
Mm-hmm.
No. Let's stay here, please.
I'm assuming you guys are kind of still in tech space. You're not on the stage yet.
We're still in a rehearsal.
Rehearsal phase, yeah.
I think we get one day on stage this week, and then we start transitioning to the stage next week. Mm-hmm. I have been extraordinarily lucky to sing in some extraordinary spaces. And that's great for them. But this space it's unlike anything I've ever seen.
You know, there's something about going to the Lyric. Of course, it's the Opera House here, right? So it's the Opera House, but yet once a year, this year twice, they'll do this Broadway show. The other one they did was Fiddler on the Roof. You may know a little while back, which was also phenomenal, by the way, and a really different production of all of that. I got to chat with Tevye and Golder for that. But the point is that even the people who come to this space, you know, when people go to theater, I don't know, we become more New York. People are used to wear ties and suits and whatever. And, you know, people are much more casual, but not at the Lyric. I mean, they may not be in tuxedos, but they're coming a little, you're very conscious. Even I will put a sport coat on or a tie, or I often wear bow ties on the air. I'll do that kind of thing because I'm in that space. And it's just about showing reverence and respect. Absolutely. For the historic space that you're in. I think as performers, you're feeling that.
Absolutely. The space calls for it. The show calls for it. The cast and the production team that we are working for, everyone holds this project in such high esteem, and you have no choice but to, you know, recognize its importance.
Yeah.
And this is not, you are here from June 2nd to the 25th for this Lyric production. I mean, I just want our viewers and listeners to know, because some people are watching, some people are listening, but this, you're not a touring cast here. I mean, you're not going from here and schlepping up to Milwaukee.
Nope,
this is it.
Yeah.
This is your chance to see it. Yeah.
Is New York home for both of you, and you both come in from New York to do this?
I'm based in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And I am based in New York.
So both in here, first time working with each other. Talk to me a little bit about, Ryan, I'll come back to you, the cast that you're working with, obviously some local folks in it, but there has to be a magic between just everybody on that stage. Are there people in the cast who have been, I haven't seen the cast roster yet, who have been at the Lyric before and sort of sharing with you some of the experiences, or is it new for a lot of you?
Yeah, I know that Brett Thiel, mm-hmm, and Amanda Castro, they have both done these roles that the Riff and Anita before, and having we have many members of our you know, our beautiful Jets and Sharks who have also done either this production of West Side Story or a production of West Side Story before, and having that that experience and that knowledge is so helpful, especially I don't want to speak for you, but for Kenesha and myself coming into this production for the first time, that feels really nice. I pride myself in being good with words, and I have none. I cannot begin to tell you how spoiled rotten we are with the amount of talent from top to bottom in this cast. I don't want to sound egotistical. Mm-hmm. I don't want to make any promises I can't keep, but I think that this show is going to be absolutely unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
I expect nothing less. As I said, they did this a few years ago. It was astounding. And so to see that it was coming back again, new cast, you know, new players in it. And that's why I sort of asked what differences we might see. I don't know, but this is just one of the greatest. It's exactly what the lyric, if it wants to play in the Broadway world, it's exactly the show you want to do, for the Chicago cast, for the Chicago community. It's just amazing. While you're here, have either of you played Chicago before? Is this new to you?
This is my first time in Chicago, first time performing in West Side Story. And one thing I didn't get to mention, and I would be remiss if I didn't.
Sure.
This production and what makes it so special and so different is all of the sharks are actually part of the Latin diaspora all over. There are a lot of Puerto Ricans actually playing these Puerto Ricans, myself included, you know, first generation immigrants, people that moved here from other countries. And I think that it brings so much authenticity to the show and really brings home the points that we are trying to make. And it shows the struggles that Latinx people still face, even today. You know, Puerto Rico is dealing with climate change and natural disasters far more frequently, and lack of electricity and, you know, government infrastructure there on the island. So people are still leaving their homes, coming to the States just for basic shelter and yeah. and job opportunities. So the Chicago Lyric has been great at really trying to honor the people's stories that they're telling.
So very important. And I'm going to do one more name drop, but George Takaris is a friend. George played Bernardo in the original film. He's 90 now, but he's not Puerto Rican. And in fact, in the West End, he played Riff. So, go figure, right? On stage. But my point is, what you're saying is so important, that finally the theater community, I don't know if that's a fair statement to say, but I mean, the theater community probably has gotten it a lot longer ago than other communities. But the importance of that authenticity, the importance of bringing people to the stage who represent the communities that they are playing. So very important. And I'm glad you said that. While you're here, so this is your first time in Chicago, Kenesha. So I imagine you have the world telling you all the things you need to do, and the Lou Malnati's pizza and the Garrett's caramel corn cheese corn mix, all the things you're not supposed to eat. And I will ask Ryan to please take you on the architectural boat tour.
That's what architectural boat tour. Saying. Yes. We literally talked about that.
Not just the boat. Not just the boat ride. With all due respect to the boat rides, it's the architectural boat tour that you want to do.
Yes. Right.
That is.
So yeah. And I imagine once the show opens, you get really close. You know, if I would ask you then, what are you doing? You'd be going, I'm in my hotel and I'm performing. So, and Ryan, what about you? Have you been here before? And do you have some favorite things you like to do?
I have been here before for like 30 hours. So,
are you saying you were at O'Hare and with a delayed plane?
No, I a long time ago, I like toured a variety show and we had a stop in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Which is a very long-winded way of saying I've basically never been here. I know none of the good spots. I am so looking forward to getting to know this wonderful city. I grew up just a couple hundred miles north in the Twin Cities of Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
I'm a Midwestern boy through and through, and I can't wait to get to know Chicago better.
Well, I'm so glad you guys are here, and I do hope if they do give you some days off of free time before things get even crazier in a week or so, that you do take the time. It is one of the most magnificent cities, and I imagine everybody could say that, but it just is really true when you're talking about Chicago and when you hear about the food scene and stuff. John Leguizamo was doing this 6-part series, and Chicago was the focus of one of the episodes. And primarily, by the way, Kenesha, the focus was in the Puerto Rican communities and Latino food and all that. So it's lots of places to go. So I hope you get a chance really to explore, yes, the boat tour, but the museums and the Art Institute, and this isn't a travel guide, so I'm not going to take time to do that. But I love to plug the city a little bit for folks who are visiting, because I promise you, if you haven't fallen in love with it yet, and you're here in the summertime, so you can fall in love with it.
Yes. Although it hasn't felt like it, might I say, it's been a little chilly.
I know. The other night we had what they call the pneumonia front, which is the temperature dropped at about 30 degrees in 12 seconds. But we don't have that often. And so you're going to be here and things are lovely. And that is fantastic. And I do hope you have fun. Ryan, so just as I'm going to wrap with you guys, but just again, you're playing this role of Tony, whatever. As you think back to the different Broadway careers, we know that Kenesha has got this whole, you know, operatic background. For you, it seems like a more traditional sort of theater background, but now playing this space. But it's still the role of lifetime.
Oh, absolutely. I Tony has been a dream role for a million years. I've circled it in so many different productions. I actually auditioned for the movie. I've wanted to play this role for so long, and all of the times that it didn't work out, I got so mad. And now with this as context for my life, I'm sort of like, yeah, this was worth waiting for.
I don't know why I'm drawing the name. I'm picturing him in my head. I'm just drawing a blank on his name, who played Tony in the recent film.
Ansel Elgort.
Yes. Did you ever hear, I'm not going to tell the story because I can't. Did you ever hear him tell the story of when he met Sondheim for the first time and Sondheim was in recording session?
No.
Okay, it didn't go well. So I'm not going to tell you the story because it involves language I don't want to use here. But if you can find that or find him telling that story, it's amazing. I'll give you the brief version. I'll give you the really brief version. Okay, okay. He said he couldn't function because Sondheim's in the room. They leave. They end up on the elevator together. And Ansel looks at Sondheim and just can't speak. He's like, I just can't tell you what it is to be in this room and with you. And Sondheim gives him a note. You need to do this. You need to whatever. And Ansel's response was, oh, I just need you to know that you're unbelievable. You are everything to me. The line I can't say is what Sondheim then looked at him and said. But let's just say he said something along the lines of, did you hear what I told you? And left the elevator. And that was the end of it. Hmm. And if I meet you in person, I'll tell you what Sondheim actually said.
I look forward to it.
You would not want to have been in that little setting at that moment. Trust me.
Yeah.
And Kenesha, so as you do this role for you, is it back to Broadway in some ways for you? Is it like, no, I'm sticking with the operatic thing? Where do we go?
I will go where I'm hired. I mean, I love theater. I love musicals. Yes, I was in opera world and have that vocal training, but I really just view that as being able to sing across different styles, just like you would sing country one day and sing R&B another. I think music theater is a distinctly American art form, and it's something that is our birthright, just like jazz. So there's something cathartic about being in these spaces and telling these stories. And I love it. I have a blast. I mean, I get to do what I love every single day with amazing people. So,
well, I can't wait to see the magic between the two of you. I got a little flavor of it on the morning show, but to see it on stage and with the entire cast, again, it's a treat for Chicago to have this show back and to have this sort of new cast, because it gives it new blood and refreshing view. And I think that's going to be amazing. Let me remind our listeners and viewers that you guys are playing at the Lyric Opera of all places from June 2nd to the 25th. Tickets can be gotten at lyricopera.org. But I guess they give you this extra /West Side Story. So that'll take you right there. So lyricopera.org/West Side Story. I imagine if you just go to lyricopera.org, you'll find your way there. Guys, break legs every night. And just know that I will be out there cheering you on. If I have any hearing problems, I'll raise my hand and just yell, please sing louder. I can't hear you or something like that. Where are the, Sondheim would say, where are the violas? Yeah. I tried to hint what he did. Anyway, Ryan McCartan and Kenesha Feliciano, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. I encourage everybody to get there, lyricopera.org/West Side Story. I could talk to you guys forever, but I just look forward to seeing you on stage opening night. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's PaulLisnek. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more insider scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.